This is the Your Agent Podcast, where Ren and Lauren get fit on finance, insurance, and teamwork. We will be covering topics with professionals from different industries to give our listeners the insight to be financially fit and motivate them through all walks of life. Special thanks to our friend Matt Bassani for his music in the background. You can go download free on all streaming platforms. This is the Your Agent Podcast. The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the author and may or may not represent the views of Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment. Advisory services offered through Lincoln Investment or Capital Analysts, registered investment advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Investment, broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, www.lincolninvestment.com.
What's up, everybody? This is your agent, Rand Janarine, and today I have Matt Bassani, financial advisor, husband, father, founder of Clean Safe Living, and he's here today to talk about a couple of financial planning needs. So, Matt, thanks for coming on my show, and thank you for just being here. Let's just have fun with it. I mean, fun fact about Matt and I, we have done a lot of nonprofit work and a lot of fun stuff, so I'm really excited that you're on my show. When I had to create a list of people, you were literally the top three.
Nice.
Top one was wife. So, you know, have to do that.
Appreciate that.
So, Matt, tell us a little bit about what you do and why you love it. And
yeah, absolutely. I've been in the financial services industry for over 10 years, helping people with their future plans, whether it's retirement goals, college planning, and sometimes insurance.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. But ultimately, it's about education, helping people get educated on how they can be better with their finances and also with things that they might need help with when it comes to debt and budgeting, which we're talking about today, I believe.
Yeah, that's true. So I believe, you know, me and you, we both do youth mentoring, and whether it's through our nonprofit or through church and stuff like that, I've noticed that a lot of, I guess, millennials and people of all ages, they just have a hard time budgeting. Like, I remember when I used to work in the banking world, I remember seeing a guy just trying to make a withdrawal and barely had anything in his account. I think he was in Vietnam, and the dude only had like maybe like 50 bucks in there, and he's always scraping by. And I always thought, oh, okay, you know, you live in a good neighborhood, a rich neighborhood, you know, you probably have all your stuff lined up, and find out he just never budget, and that's scary to see someone in your late 70s to not have anything, and finding out that you're just living with your sister at that time, and then versus seeing someone that's 18, 20, 25, 30, 40, paycheck to paycheck and stuff like that, and the answers are almost universal. Either have a student loan, bad credit debt, don't know how to budget, didn't learn this in school, we learned about what X plus 2 equals, you know, but no one teaches how to do taxes or budgeting or how to even save, or why should we have a savings account when we have a checking even, you know? So I'm happy you're on this show. So let's just get right into it. So in terms of budgeting and paying off your debt, what are some ways to track that and pay off the debt?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of times people will ask us, you know, what can I do with this debt, right? And how can I track it? Some of the simple exercises that we've seen work is just creating a budget intake sheet. In other words, you take your monthly income, whatever you're making at your job, whether it's your part-time job, your full-time job, within your career, you look at your salary, and then you add up all of your expenses, those monthly expenses, and then you're subtracting. You're saying, all right, where is that leftover income or the leftover money?
Gotcha.
A lot of times we see people are in the negative, they're in the red, and now they have to create an opportunity for themselves to get debt-free, and it's just that intake where they see a visual that allows them to understand where money might be used properly and where money has been misused.
Gotcha. So basically just taking a sheet of paper, writing down all their incomes, where again, all the money coming in, whether it's their side hustles, their 9-to-5 job, and then just writing down from McDonald's to
all the spots.
Even bank transfers, like I'm transferring from checking to savings and stuff like that, counting for everything. Okay. And you're in your line of work, you see a lot of people in the red.
You see a lot of people that don't realize they're in the red. In other words, ignorance is bliss. You'll see a lot of people in general, I believe, in the world of finance and outside of it that just don't realize that these are simple steps that could lead them to a debt-free life.
Oh, man. So with that, how can people stop that excess spending? Like, how can people just like I know a lot of people that just they kind of just swipe that card. I think that plastic is it just takes
the danger zone.
It's a danger zone, you know? So like, how do you control that? How do you control?
Well, for the single people,
or I guess what are examples of cutting back on the excessive spending?
Yeah, there's you know, there's that category of the listener, the person that's watching this that's single that says, well, I don't have any accountability, so how can I do this? And there's a lot of apps out there. There's a lot of software. There's things on the internet that you can find to help keep you accountable. It might even be a family member or a friend that could help you actually track that spending. But for us, right, we're married, our wives, incorporating them into the decision-making process. In other words, if you have a bank account and you're married, and you guys don't have it as a joint, you might want to reconsider that because it should be an open book. I know my wife and I, we have an open book. It's like, hey, our money is our money together. And that helps us with any blind spots. There may be an area where you just don't realize you've been swiping too much, whether it's with the debit card or the credit card. So just having that accountability can help with someone else saying, hey, you know what? I think I see where the problem is. And it's not necessarily the same every time, right? Sometimes it's different for each person, but it could be as simple as when you go out to work, are you buying snacks, are you getting your lunch, and is it equating to maybe a $50 a week spending habit that you could eliminate or maybe cut back on that excess spending through just having accountability, being able to track it from that budget intake form to now saying, all right, looking at our bank statements, we're looking at credit card statements and seeing where we could possibly reduce that spending to help pay off the debt that we've accumulated.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it's also the perception, too. I think we live in a world that it's, we want that instant gratification.
Right.
So I tend to see a lot of students, especially, they just swipe that card and they just get what they want, you know, what they wanted. And then all of a sudden, you know, they wake up one morning and it's like, whoa, I have 5 cents in my account, you know? So I guess it's a perception as well, because seeing, like, if I stop buying coffee every day, right? If I'm one of those guys that buy coffee $5 a cup or something like that from one of those big brands, $5, what, times 30 days, what is that? $150 a month right there.
Yeah, quick.
And that's like a minimum payment on a credit card.
It's a credit card payment right there.
It could be almost a car payment. So I think it's good if people could just see the perception of that and the power of that, because they definitely see the power of, quick, boom, they get a line of credit or a credit card approved online at 2 a.m. because they got bored or something. Then they buy all the gear that they want. You know, I know some people that just, they just buy everything in one shot, and then they're like, all right, I could pay this off. Yeah. And then it just, they just get buried in it. So but what do you say with those people that want to, they want a budget, but then they have all those, I want those urges to get the snack without the accountability. Like, how do they find that accountability partner?
Well, you can do it again with the idea that, hey, you know what? I have to bring my spouse in on this if I haven't done it already. You could go deeper. So, you know what? I need a professional. I need someone to help me monetize and monitor the things that I'm doing and creating a roadmap to not only financial freedom, right? Or free out of debt consolidation, but also maybe to the extent of creating a full financial plan or a full retirement plan. So that's important too. But rewinding back, even with the debt, with the credit cards, right? Some of those simple things that we miss sometimes are looking for the zero interest rate credit card. Instead of just holding on to the one that, well, I love this one because I have so many points. But meanwhile, they're making X amount of money off of the interest. So maybe consolidating that debt into a zero interest card, starting fresh, starting over and saying, you know what? I've moved everything under one new roof. I'm going to pay it down even quicker. I got my budget intake form, and now I understand that there are things within my budget that have to go, like the excess spending on coffee at the famous coffee places that are in your neighborhood. Where you say, you know what? That's $150 that could pay down that credit card quicker. Those are quick strategies too, just peering into, again, what you're spending on, what is your income, and why are you in the red? Now just going a step further, your spouse is on board. Or maybe you don't have a spouse yet, no family. All right, we'll find a professional, someone that you think you can connect with and trust to help educate you on some of those blind spots.
to find a professional, I guess they could go to you. They could go to, they could, because nowadays everyone just goes on Google. That's what I'm trying to get at, yeah. Right?
They so can they, go to anyone that they trust, a family member they can look into.
I'm sure somebody knows somebody.
That, right, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that makes a big sense. And I like that part that you talk about transferring all the balance over to like a zero interest credit card. But I feel like before you even do that, it's like you got to make sure you, your account, you, like you have accountability. Because like personally, and I know other people, they've done that and they were not responsible. And they just went into a rabbit hole even further and further. And it just hurt them in the long run. You know, it just put them in a bind. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like that advice there too. So I love that you and your spouse have, you have everything together.
Yeah.
Everything together. So that way, you, if you do something, she sees it. And if she does something, you see it. Open communication, transparency. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. I mean, that's the same thing with me and Lauren. It just makes life so much easier because we're trying to save up for a house. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, all right, what's the game plan? You know, it's just like sports, football, basketball. If the whole team doesn't know what's going on, then, you know, one guy left out, you know, you're only strong. Mm-hmm. What's that saying? Like you're just as strong as your weakest link, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
I love that because a lot of people, they kind of, I think they get embarrassed about their debt.
Yeah, I think there's a pride issue that can connect with being in debt or having, or just the unknown. Like, I don't know who to ask about this. And I'm a little fearful of the response I may get. But meanwhile, we're all trying to figure
doing this
out.
Show. That's why we're doing this show. So that way people could feel like, okay, we could connect with Matt and connect with Ren. And because I feel like Google just, nothing on Google or the search, when you go online or anything like that, it's just, you could find I think people look for the answer that makes them feel comfortable. Mm. Not that, sometimes the comfortable answer is not the truth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So paying off debt, what are some good ways to, I guess, what are some good ways to pay off debt? Like, I want to go on, I want to do an impulse buy, you know, but I shouldn't. You know, because I would just rack up everything. I guess a good way, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe you sleep on it for 24 hours or something like that. And then,
yeah, you got to create some healthy boundaries between your temptations, whether it's snacking, food, or maybe you're an Amazon guy where you just love to order things, right? You got to really create those boundaries and maybe not bring the wallet to certain scenarios where you know you might swipe. So, yeah, that's important.
Maybe taking that, if I was going to buy something for $100, maybe 24 hours later, I'm like, you know, I really don't need it. And I take that $100 and I just maybe put it towards a credit card bill.
Right. Yeah.
I have a bank account like where it's one of those online accounts where it's awesome with a high interest rate. But if I want the money, it doesn't come right away. You get what I'm saying? It takes like a few business days. So that instant gratification is like it's cut off. You know, so that's something that a lot of people should look into if you have that issue. But if you have accountability, you don't have to worry about that too. Right. What are some other ways to keep yourself accountable in this process? You talk about your wife, you talk about, I guess, apps, right?
Yeah, there's apps out there.
You know, like, what would the apps show you? Like, would they give you a notification? Would they stop you from spending? Or
they'll give you even an update, you know, if you've been spending too much. There's some that will actually show you how much you've spent in the week versus the month.
Yeah.
Now you have, again, another visual. Again, you might not want the hard paper document of writing down, like, oh, well, I wrote down all of my information. And, you know, for us tech-savvy people, we may just want the app that just punches all that information in. And now instead of me, where is my hard copy paper, I'm actually able to move forward with an app that will just constantly ring on my phone.
Right.
And now say, oh, okay, I better be careful. I'm going against.
Yeah, I got that too. I got notifications.
You know, just notifications. And this could be done in a few different ways, not just for credit card debt. It might be something with you trying to pay down your house, or maybe another expense that you're trying to focus in on and tackle. And you want to find the proper tech or the proper software to help you reach that goal. You can do it, especially if you're capable and feel like you're educated to do so.
Yeah. Yeah, I have one of those apps where it's like it breaks down. It actually I have to put every transaction into a category.
Okay.
So I can see where my traveling, my gas, food, restaurant, everything like that is being accounted for.
It's one of those ones with like the pie chart where it shows you
different colors, whole rainbow wheel. I love
those
it.
Those are nice.
Yeah. Shows the credit score, and I love that you could actually export into an Excel file, which will help with accounting purposes. So if you do your taxes, at least it will show like, all right, this is where all my donations went to.
Right.
So
that's great. That's
many
a good
of them
start,
are free too. So a lot of people don't even know that you don't have to like spend money to manage your money. I feel right. sometimes, you know, it's like even just listen to this podcast. It's free, you right. know. So you're paying your debt. Your debt's going down. Your budget's on point. What's the next step?
The next step for all of us, it's not just for you and I, but for everybody, for everyone that's trying to get ahead, mm-hmm. is to create a financial plan. And it sounds intimidating. And
that
it
is intimidating.
Like, what is that?
That sounds like I have to spend money.
It does, right? It sounds, but usually you don't in a lot of cases. Some places you don't, and it, with some people you don't. And in the world of the internet, mm-hmm. if you do it on your own, or at least mm-hmm. try to start doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can start that process to at least find a solution to where do you want to get to? In other words, what is the goal for your financial future? What is the goal for financial plan as far as your family, future right. family, business? There needs to be a financial plan put in place. And it's a broad topic, right?
Right,
but
yeah.
there needs to be specifics and details put under that umbrella, under that topic right there, financial plan.
Gotcha.
The goal that you have for your investments, the wants, the wishes, the needs.
Okay. So if you're talking to, because I'm just thinking of the 20-year-olds, because
right.
we're in a weird dynamic here where there's a lot, again, that instant gratification.
Yeah.
There's that half responsibility, half freedom to total responsibility, total
right.
freedom. And a lot of these, you see a lot of young people moving back with their parents because they can't make it, or they're leaving,
right.
they're moving to, you know, different parts of the country because it's just more cheaper, but everything is cheaper. Living wages are less and everything like
right.
that. So when you talk about financial planning, are you, when you do like an intake on them, a needs analysis, are you looking, are you asking like, what's your 5-year plan? Like, you know, would you like to buy a house, or how much would you like to net? Like, what are, if you could get into a little more detail
yeah.
on that,
yeah,
how would
you
that
know,
look for the young kids?
It's similar to what I was just talking about earlier about
yeah.
the old paper, right? If you
right.
were to say this, you know, here's your financial plan for a young person, it's like,
yeah.
what? I'm not going to read this. What is, mm-hmm. you know, like, but it might be on the form of an app like they're already doing. It may
right.
be something that's connected to their local bank where they're actually able to budget, monitor, and then create goals
yeah.
for the money that they're saving.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a goal, like you said, to buy a house, or it could be a goal to maybe purchase a new vehicle, whatever it may be within
yeah.
their goals, right? That's
mm-hmm.
going to be part of their financial plan, whether they want to use that term or not, or whether
mm-hmm.
we want to use it because it sounds intimidating.
Yeah.
A financial plan is saying, hey, I'm stating my goal, my investment objective, how am I going to get there? And then you monitor it from a yearly basis to 3 years to 5 years to
mm-hmm.
10 years and so on. And if you're someone that doesn't like to plan that far ahead, then maybe you just do it month by month for now. But you have to have something in place so that you can refer back to see if you're getting to where you want to be. In other words, have you reached those goals? And how can I reach those goals? So it's, again, a broad concept, but it's really
yeah.
important that a financial plan is put in place for anyone that's trying to create debt consolidation, that's trying
mm-hmm.
to create a sound and, I would say, on-point budget so
mm-hmm.
that they're not necessarily, again, going back into debt, paying off their student loans, paying off your credit cards, paying down your mortgage. And
mm-hmm.
in there, creating that financial plan,
mm-hmm.
in that new intake, that second intake for a
yeah.
financial plan is saying, do you have a retirement account
right.
with your employer? Where do you work?
Mm.
What do you mean? In other words, your job may provide a retirement plan for you to contribute a portion of your paycheck
mm-hmm.
into that plan.
Mm-hmm.
In there, did you ever have an inheritance? What do you mean? Well, maybe grandma or grandpa left
mm.
you some money and you were just told it was there in the bank and you've just never touched it,
mm.
but maybe it could be used more efficiently. Or do you have any real estate investments?
Mm.
For the older listener or the
right.
mid-career listener, like what are
yeah.
you doing with that additional cash? Are you utilizing it from that rental property? Whatever it may be within the realm of investing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you had an IRA or a certain type of account,
mm-hmm.
you want to take that into consideration when you're creating your financial plan, specifically so you can reach and attain the goals that you have. So it's step by step,
mm-hmm.
not as intimidating when we break it down and unpack it, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when we bring up that word, right,
mm-hmm.
financial plan, you
yeah.
could get, whoa, what's next.
Yeah, no, I'm listening. I mean, don't mistake my body language. Yeah. Like, I'm just listening. I'm not falling asleep. I'm not like scared or anything. It's just, it's a lot because I didn't learn a lot of that stuff in college. Right.
No one ever learned it
in business
high school,
seminar.
Right?
I didn't learn this in business seminar. I didn't learn any of this. I learned this just through people like you and my father and just random people when I was in other professions. It's just,
it's life experience too has a lot to do with it, right? Sometimes our mistakes and the errors that we make lead to us developing that investment plan, that investment philosophy, that retirement plan, whatever way you want to put it into words.
So you're saying that there is other options, maybe better options than to just leave an inheritance in just a regular checking savings account, basically. Like, there might be better options out there because most people don't know.
There might be.
I know people that don't even know what a CD is.
Right.
You know? And I'm not saying that's a preferred method or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, people just don't know.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, there's so much. We could really break this into a few episodes, honestly, you know, because I'm right now thinking of so many students that are just on this paycheck to paycheck style. And they're always trying to find a new job, trying to find a second job. And then I know some of them that are just doing things you're making your future very dim right now. Let's just keep it professional like that. And it's just so frustrating when I see their parents are working hard and they're working two jobs. And it's just, I know I'm going a little off tangent here, but it does play into the part of finances, because I think in finances there's that responsibility that comes with, that comes a big part of that, accountability, responsibility, reliability. Like for me, for example, I know that my parents, I always try to make sure they always take care of me and my brothers, but I would make sure I work and I would be very, responsible with my finances.
Yeah, you're a good steward of the finances that have been entrusted with
you. Listen, it's in the Bible. It's in many other practices and all that stuff. It's just, that's just smart, to be honest with you. So it's just, I never want to ask my parents, like, you know, knock, 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 hey, I'm in like 50K debt.
Right.
Because of my own mistakes that I didn't listen to myself. I had all these urges and I just buy like years of pile up. Like, I never want that for for myself or for my future, for my parents, you know? So, but there's so many students that just, they just need to hear this, you know? Yeah. And I'm glad that we're even doing this because...
Yeah, it creates the conversation for anyone that might be thinking it, but is too afraid to admit that they have an issue.
Yeah.
There's no shame in the game.
I think that's like the main message behind this. Even though we're talking about the finances, you know, paying off your debt, controlling your finances, I think the listeners need to understand that it's okay to talk about your debt.
Right.
Not sweep it underneath the rug. You know, some people, if they don't see it, I know some people, they don't even look at their bank accounts for weeks because they're so afraid.
Yeah, to see that balance go down.
Yeah, and then they only find out when the card gets declined.
Yeah,
that's how they live. And I'm like, why? You know, it's like, you know, so I like the fact that accountability is huge because you may find accountability with someone that may be your cheerleader. It's okay. You know?
Right, right. Someone that believes in you.
Right.
Could be somebody even that you work with, that you're close with, that, you know, all right, you know what? Let's do this together.
Yeah.
Let's find out about what we need to do. You know, if you are contributing to your qualified plan at work or your 401k or whatever investment platform they give you, whatever retirement plan they give you, there's great accountability with that too. Because now you know it's coming out of your paycheck. Maybe that's that money that would have went towards snacking and feasting on some treasure versus putting it towards your future retirement. So there are ways to even create that budget by disciplining yourself with those automatic contributions into these types of retirement plans.
That's great. So this is a popular one, student loans. That's on the news now and all that stuff. And so what do you have to say about that?
The famous student loans.
Like, I know somebody that's in, well, she's always going to be 30 in my head, but I think she was my teacher in high school.
Okay.
I'm in 40 now. She recently just paid off her student loan.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're talking about decades, like,
of
just paying that off. Like, me and Lauren, we have no student loans. And that's just a blessing. She, her family believes in higher education, so they actually put aside money for that. Okay. Like, that's just a family tradition. I like that tradition. And then whereas me, it was very just apply for every single scholarship.
Yeah, that you could possibly get as much free money as you can. Yeah.
That's it, you know. I applied for all the easy ones, to be honest with you. All the ones were all community involvement.
Okay.
Meaning I had to hands and feet on the earth and do something. And the supervisor would have to sign off that I committed to X amount of hours, okay, and got like $500 for one thing, $1,000 for another, $2,000 for another. And it was great because I did all the mission. It was all mission trips.
Nice.
Local and international outreach.
Travel, yeah.
Build the house. Yeah, travel, raise money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, almost pretty much had a free college ride with that. So that was
hey, that's free info right there that everybody should tap into.
That's it, you know. Just
all
look
the 18 and unders.
Scholarships. Yeah. It's the biggest thing. I mean, I'm a big prodigy behind that. And then, and that's when gas was $5 a gallon. So you had to do everything you can to to just save. But, what do you have to say about student loans? Like, people that are just drowning in that, and how do we get out of that?
So for the young person that's dealing with the student loan debt and you're trying to find a way out, there is the opportunity always to look for a provider that might be able to take over that debt. Sometimes they have a lower interest rate. There's a lot of providers out there that will say, hey, we'll take your debt and we'll give you a lower interest rate. Now you're repaying it maybe at a lower rate of return as far as the interest rate, or maybe it's a fixed rate. So that's an option to consolidate them as much as you can. I mean, it's a very deep topic at times when you talk about the student loan crisis and you talk about different types of loans. So
I know some people have six figures.
It gets kind of crazy, and it can be discouraging, I think, for a young professional that's trying to get ahead, especially if you're living in the tri-state area where we are. People are going to need a roommate. If you're working in, say, the public sector, or say a teacher or an administrator, you're working at a school district that's at risk, there are a lot of programs now that allow you to at least apply for loan forgiveness, which is nice. So there could be a loan forgiveness opportunity for those of you that are in education, those of you that are saying, you know what, I might have a loan that could be forgiven. Look into that with your school district. Look into it with maybe even through the state, through your retirement system.
What do you know about that? Is it like they just waive the whole thing, or if you're in that environment?
Not necessarily. There's a little bit more. There's a little bit more detail that goes into it, but there are options that they'll give you to eventually forgive that loan. So there, I believe it's a teamwork aspect. You're still going to
be a teacher, right? That's the fast track.
That could be anyone within the profession that is either a state employee. There's different ways that it could connect. It just depends on where you live within the country, and also, you know, what's out there. So there could be different ways to do that within, specifically for those in education, those that work within a school district as a teacher. That's the one that I would look at first. Then obviously if you don't work in that, say you're a private sector person, I would go back to the drawing board and see what companies are out there to possibly help you consolidate into a lower interest rate. And again, this is going back to that beginning part of our conversation of
full circle.
The budget intake. What's in there? Well, I got my college loan I'm paying down. Right. I got this I'm paying down. All right, I make X amount of money a month. Well, what about if that $100, $200 expense that you were paying on those snacks and those items, right, throughout your week, or swiping with that card to buy things online, what if you utilize it to help pay down your college debt quicker? That's always a really important concept to think about. You know, consider that instead of just hoping that the next X amount of years, it's just going to be forgiven. You can't just hope that that's going to happen in general. In other words, I know there's always been conversations, what if student loans just were forgiven, or the first X amount of dollars? And I know that's been a talk from time to time within the political realm and in different areas.
Yeah.
But you have to do your own homework, and you have to be proactive to try to really pay that down as quick as possible, because those rates sometimes are variable. You don't realize it.
What's that mean, variable?
They can change from time to time. You know, they're not locked in at a fixed rate.
So that could be scary. So it could go up.
Could go up. Could go down. Ignorance is bliss. You were talking about not looking at statements, not looking at, you could just assume you're paying it down and not be paying enough.
That's true.
So the more the better. Be militant with those student loans. And again, look for those providers that might be able to consolidate them for you.
How many of your own clients have you seen that had student loan crisis debt? Sorry, it's just overwhelming to have six figures in student loans. You know, it's just, that's a whole nother story for me. But how many of them knew that they could, like, kind of restructure it or ask for, like, those programs? Like,
I would
did
say
many
that
people know about that? Because I didn't know about that till just this now.
I would say almost anyone that I come in contact with, whether it's in the form of educating them or just talking to them in general, a lot of people just aren't aware of 90% of the stuff we're talking about. You know, student loan consolidation, yeah, I would say almost everybody that I talk to has an idea that they can mm-hmm. do it, but I don't think they're all educated on how to do it. And I think that's the deeper conversation that they have to have with someone.
Right.
And whether it's even just one of these companies that mm-hmm. will possibly help them with that loan pay down. In other words, what company could help them and educate them on student loan debt consolidation, right? Or student loan payoffs. Sometimes there's not much left on it. So yeah, it's I think something that, again, nobody wants to always do the homework on, but you have to really get educated and understand that there's information out there at your local library. There's usually people that come in and talk about this. That's it's free. True. You get free education at a local venue to find out what you need to do.
Yeah. Do you think you could apply this same student loan logic to credit cards and personal
Absolutely.
Loans?
Yeah.
You could find a restructure, go to another company, ask to restructure it, or
for
a lower rate.
You know, and
credit
definitely,
cards are like what, over 20%, and then
file that same system down the line for any debts that you might have.
Sorry, there's just a lot, and this is just going to go off a little tangent here, but it's just crazy with the student loans. Like, I know a lot of people where they, you know, they want to go to college, but they can't afford it, and they're not trying to get the scholarships. They're not trying any of this. They just go for the student loans because I feel like that's what the media is pushing out and everything like that. But it's interesting how what if you take that same amount of money and energy and put that into like a small business or apply it to something else. Maybe you apply it into a savings, right?
Yeah.
And then just what's your take on like people going to like a state university? Like if somebody does not know what they want to be as they grow up or what to major in, should they go for the Ivy League school right off the bat, you know, and take those?
Wow.
That was weird for me. Like when I went to college for the first few years, I was taking like the same classes I took in high school.
Yeah.
And as I was sitting down in that math class or that English class in high school, in college, all I'm thinking about is my dad just yelling in my head, like, God forbid I paid for you to take the same class over and over again. Like, I just hear that. Like, he would be so annoyed by that, you know, if I was in NYU or Harvard or something like that, you know? So, like, in terms of, like, cost effectiveness, you know, saving money, what's your take on that? Like, you know, what college did you go to and all that?
Yeah. So, for me, you know, community college is where I started.
Yeah. I went to state.
Did 2 years at community college. Then I went to a state university upstate to good old Oswego, which is on Lake Ontario. I saw a picture of the school in a college booklet. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, wow, it's on the water. It's like Long Island. I love it. And it was like the sun setting. And then once October came, my first year there, and I saw the snow come. And I saw the winds almost take students off their feet going to class. I realized this is not going to be a sunny experience. It was actually the opposite. So I did those first 2 years at community college. Then I went into the state school of my choice, which was Oswego.
Yeah.
And that was strategic in a way because it allowed me to preserve some of that cash flow, right? Some of the money that I needed for the student loans I was going to have in my later years, getting my bachelor's. And then finished that up, came back downstate, did my master's here on Long Island.
Nice.
And that was the route I went. But it's not always as simple for everyone when sometimes you are looking just for the name college, whether it's to honor a family member or it's because mom and dad just want you to go there. But you really do have to do your research.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Right.
Yeah. I think people need to know that as long as you just manage your money just efficiently. You know,
And, you know, even for those that are listening and that are saying, well, community college, and I know there's always that like, I feel like I'm in like 13th grade, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you have to dismiss that, you know, get your grind on, work hard, work part-time, save that money, enjoy the area that you live in as much as you can.
Yeah.
You know, it's always tough going
to
visit.
No one's going to pay your bills for you.
No.
One's going to get your degree unless you
can go visit your friends at school and be like, I'm missing out on this independence, but long term, you're going to be thankful and appreciative that you didn't put yourself into that debt by starting too soon, and now, you know, you're in a whole different scenario.
Yeah, no, that's so true, man, because I remember just growing up, and I guess, like freshman, sophomore year of college, and then even senior year of high school, you know, yeah, I hung out a lot, but I did say no to a lot of other hangouts.
Right.
And, you know, I get made fun of, or like, oh, you're a wuss, whatever, you know. You know, it's like that's 90s right there for you. But it's just so, it's like a TV show, honestly. But all those people that made fun of me, or they, I guess, shun me or something like that, whatever it is, or back in the day, block you on Instant Messenger or MySpace or whatever. I'm actually talking with these guys. They're business owners, they're entrepreneurs, they're giving back to the community. They did a 180 in their life. They rewrite their tomorrow, wipe the slate clean on that. I'm talking to these guys, and it's just like, it's great because then this is their words on mine. They wish they were on, I guess, my wagon
Right.
earlier than the time they went on it. I don't know if that makes sense. Basically, when they were on the bandwagon at 28 to just get their life in check, I was already on it when I was 22.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's good for students and young people and people of all ages to understand. Again, a quick recap: it's okay to talk about your debt. It's great to talk about it with somebody that would help you, not someone that could just confide with, but I believe someone that could make you feel maybe a little uncomfortable. And then it's okay to be responsible and say no to the late nights of just partying when you could be working on your side hustle.
Right.
I've seen so many ads now, so many memes and all that, where people like, your 9 to 5 is for you to for is for your paycheck and for your side hustle. And then from 7 to 10 is your side hustle. And I love it, you know, and I hope everybody could find that one job that they could love and do and make that income. But for me, I love doing the podcast. I love the videography, photography side of things, and I love what I do personally. And you just got to find that balance too. And I guess we'll just, oh, you know what? I have one more question actually. A lot of people like to pay the minimum payments when they could easily pay more than the minimum payments. Now, I have a weird rule. It's like, take the minimum payment if you're struggling on debt, obviously. If you got your minimum payments, take the minimum payment plus interest. That's your new minimum payment. How, I don't know if you ever were in debt, credit cards or whatnot. What were a good way for you to get yourself out of credit card debt in that sense? Like, was that a good method that I said, or?
I think it's a great method, yeah, just make sure you're going above that minimum. And again, look at the interest rate. See how much you're being charged in interest. A lot of times people forget that that's in the itemized list within the statement and maybe highlight it and say, okay, well, I'm going to have to go above and beyond to pay this down if my interest is
People
safe.
don't know it's daily also. That's the
Right.
scary part.
Right.
People don't know that they're, so I'll say this one more time. Credit card debt is a daily compound.
Yeah.
It's crazy. People don't have, it doesn't have any idea about that.
And just have one, you know, you don't need to have three or four.
But I want all the points and miles, Matt. You know, every airline. I don't
free,
travel, but I
I want
want
the
every
free
airline.
towel at Yankee Stadium
I want
when
the
they
Marriott
sign up,
Hotel
man.
one. I never stayed at a
Yeah.
hotel ever. The Howard Johnson. No, I never stayed there. Gross.
Yeah, say no to the ones when you're at the register where they're trying to push you to get 20% off. I mean,
Oh.
especially if you know you've got an issue, it's
The store
just.
credit cards are the worst.
Just got to say
Those
no.
are the worst. If you get one of those store credit cards, you're really hurting yourself because you're just locked in with that store. It's not a Visa or MasterCard or
Right.
anything like that. It's and I did some reading on that. It just doesn't help with your credit. It could really hurt you, and the interest rate is actually much higher than your other traditional credit cards and whatnot. Why would someone get a credit card, you think? Build
Well, we know
credit.
where most of them get enrolled at, right? At college, right? Usually
That's true.
there's usually a
Oh, you
table
see all those guys,
and they're
the
hustling,
suits,
and you know, the 18 and over crowd
suits and
is
ties.
it's all new to you, so sometimes people get it with good intentions and then it
Right.
obviously it leads to disaster.
Like I could
Yeah.
see them using it for emergency, but you gotta control it. I feel like if you're gonna use your credit card, you gotta make sure you got that same amount of cash.
Right.
Right,
Yeah.
at least, you know, and just pay that off. Like, why drown yourself in that, you know? And it's just crazy, you know? So,
It could be very dangerous. Slippery slope.
Yeah.
So I would definitely advise to have one. It's going to have it. And make sure there's maybe a limit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get the 10G and up one. You know, make sure it's something that you can realistically pay off if you had to.
I did this too. Instead of me and Lauren creating different usernames and passwords, I just gave her like all of mine. And mm-hmm. just because she has credit cards, I have credit cards. We just like put them all together under one username. I think that was a nice way of like remembering it, because you could have like that sheet of paper of all the passwords and everything like that. That's a good one-on-one right there. Good tip and trick. One credit card. I love that. And if they need to reach out to you, what's, you know, for financial planning, what's the best way for them to reach out to you? Should they message me and I give them your secret number, or just let them email you? Is that best? Email, phone call?
Whatever. I don't necessarily need them to reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather them reach out to you.
All right, so they'll reach out to both of us.
Yeah.
All right, full circle right there.
It's all about you. I'm just a guest. I'm just here for information.
Hey, be our guest, Beauty and Beast.
Yeah.
So, Matt, thanks for being on here. And this is great. I'm happy that you're on episode 2 with us. And I'm looking forward for a future podcast with you. Listeners, stay tuned, because Matt Bassani, like I said in the beginning, he wears many hats. So get ready for what he does on his non-financial advisor side. So Matt, can you just quickly just give us a teaser about that?
So there is a part of just my life that is committed to helping young people and helping people in general to start over, as you know, and some listeners may already know. I've been drug and alcohol free since 2010.
That's awesome.
And that's I've awesome. Been... you know, amen. A work in progress since then, but there's things that I believe we're supposed to do when we come out of that type of situation. In other words, out of addiction, and now you're set free, and now you're walking with purpose.
Yeah.
You need to be able to impart that hope and that truth into other people, because they're dealing with different things, and we all have different vices. So, one of the things that we do outside of our professional lives is reach out to young people and do things such as school assemblies and presentations, and do outreaches and travel to different countries and try to help people understand that it's never too late to start over. And I'm not going to give all the details, because I want to make sure that we save it for next time. But it's really important to me that the suit does not, I guess, the suit isn't going to create an identity for me. The shoes, what I drive, none of that means anything to me after what I had overcome with addiction and the things that I had overcome. So with
I see that as
everything,
a blessing.
It is, because it keeps you humble, but it also reminds you that there's a lot of meaningless things out there. So the thing that fires me up, aside from helping people and educating them, is helping our young people and our people and friends and family that may be dealing with loved ones that have addiction issues, and also people that are locked up right now, as far as we know how much we have a heart for prison reform and the things that we want to see shift in our country. So it's really heavy on my heart to make sure that I'm using all those gifts to glorify God. And in that, it's a lot of fun. So we are going to definitely talk more about that.
Oh, yeah.
And that one's gonna I'll be wearing something a little more cozier for that one.
Yeah. That's going to be better. That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, thank you for being on the show. Thank you for everyone that's listening.
Yes, thanks
Hope
for
you got
me.
A lot of information, a lot of wisdom and nuggets that you could utilize and take home and apply to your life. And stay tuned for the next episode.